Welcome to I Am Anna Man. Hello, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not feeling too bad. I'm not feeling too bad. As you probably know, I do have depression. Something I've had to live with. No, it's all right. It's nothing to be depressed about. You know, it's funny depression, isn't it? I did a whole show about it. A sketch show for depressives, actually. Uh-huh. Went very well. Okay. Didn't win anything. Okay. But that's all right. It doesn't matter. I don't do it to win things.
No.
I do my shows. I do them to win things. But, you know, it didn't win anything. Mm. And that's all right. Because I think it won quite a few people over to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's better in some ways. If I can get one person who goes, oh, I'm won over than you, that's better than winning. What is the prize? Is it £10,000?
I think.
Is it more?
For which prize?
Oh, I don't know what it's called. Just the prize, the one they all talk about. 100? Is it 100 grand? Oh, don't, Phil. Don't say it's 100 grand.
I think it might be.
Oh, God. Think what I could do with that. What would I do with 100 grand? First off, I'd divide it into grands.
Mm.
And I'd line them up.
Yeah.
Like dominoes. Yeah. And then I'd push them so they knocked each other over. And I'd go, that's 100 grand, that is. Yeah. I'd call Sue Clinch. You know Sue Clinch, my best friend.
Yeah.
You heard of her? I'd call her up and I'd go, come round, Sue. And I'd go, look, that's 100 grand, Sue. You've never seen it in your life, have you? You don't know what 100 grand looks like. And she'd be like, oh, bloody hell, no. God, you got 100 grand there. And I go, yes, 100 grand, Sue. And guess what? You're not getting any of it. And then I'd ask her to leave.
That's nice.
We're always doing stuff like that, me and Sue. Always doing stuff like that. The other day, she phoned me up to tell me that all my family had died. And I was crying and crying and crying. And then she went, I'm joking, Anna. You know, and that's Sue. That's the clinchster, you know? Clincher man. It's still, we've still got the old double act lessons, you know? She was so much fun, Sue Clinch, when we used to work together before all the operations. Which, I mean, she's still having. Now it's a case, she's addicted now, I think. It's operation on operation.
Yeah.
Over and over again. They now just treat her, apparently, like the game Operation. They just kind of, you know, there's so many holes and stuff and so many bits poking out and things that have just sort of been half done.
Yeah.
That they just kind of, you know, you just kind of point at one bit and go, should we do that?
Yeah.
You know? And she doesn't have to pay for it anymore because she's essentially just a sort of...
specimen.
Mm. But, you know, she's got a great sense of humour and she always has, you know. All your family are dead, aren't they? You know, that kind of thing. So funny.
Mm.
So funny. Which is why I would do the 100 grand then. But I didn't win the 100 grand, so I can't. I'm not saying that's a reason that I should have won. Whoever did win, I don't... You know, I don't look at who's won. I just look for my name, and then when it's not there, I just punch something.
Oh,
you know. But anyway, I didn't win. But it was a wonderful show. It really was. It was all about my struggle with depression. Now, you know, a lot of people think depression, and it's still the case. A lot of people think depression isn't even an illness. You know, they think it's just like a sort of. Oh my God, I can't be bothered, man. I'm so depressed, you know, but it's not. You know, my depression, for example, is more like this, you know. Oh my God, there are crabs in my eyes, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh.
So depression is a real, it is a real thing, you know. If you stubbed your toe.
Yeah.
Okay. Say you stubbed your toe tomorrow. You'd go straight to the NHS, wouldn't you? Straight to the hospital. Yep.
I mean,
I know I would. It's what they're there for, right? But if you stubbed your mind.
Yeah.
Where would you go then? There's no one to help you. Not really. Have you ever stabbed your mind?
Not I'm thinking of.
Pray you don't, because it's horrible. It really is. It really is. I got so I couldn't walk down the street, you know. And that was partly because I did an app called Who's That Fat Twat? A while ago, which caused a lot of bother, actually. You get a little message and it would be me going, who's that fat twat?
Yeah.
You know, and when it got into schools, you know, it caused a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Children can be cruel. Who'd have thought it? But then eventually, I did get a real sense of I couldn't, I think with depression, it's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard. And you look for the answers. You look for the answers everywhere, you know. Do you go to the NHS? I mean, I did, straight off the NHS, you know. And surprise, surprise, we can't help you with that, you know. Yeah. And yes, they were a dentist, but still, you know, they're actually very kind. They sent me off to a therapy group. I mean, 10 minutes, I was running the therapy group, you know.
Yeah.
20 minutes later, I decided to put on an Edinburgh show. It was really good fun. But it's an important thing, and I don't think people take it seriously enough. I don't. I mean, the show was a comedy, you know. Yeah. I think the ironic thing is the best way to beat it is to take the piss out of it.
Yeah.
You know? So I've got a doll at home called the Depression Doll, and I just sort of point out its rubbishness.
Oh,
how rubbish it is.
Its flaws.
Yes. That's my depression in a doll. There's all sorts of things you can do, really, to help it. There really is. If you are suffering from depression, my advice is simple. Slow down! Look out! But a lot of people say that makes them even more anxious. But it is tough. It really is tricky. And eventually, you know, wherever you go, I've read all sorts of books about it. I've spoke to all sorts of people trying to beat it. You know, a lot of great people had it. Winston Churchill had it.
Yeah, Black Dog.
Abraham Lincoln had it.
Yeah.
Apparently. Drunk Old Freddie Bastion had it. You know, I mean, Sir Peter Runway didn't have it, but he was a twat. So, the point is, when you do get it, everyone you speak to, everywhere you go, everything you read, I'm afraid the answer's running. It doesn't matter what you do, whatever you say, doctor, just give me some fucking pills. I've got crabs in my eyes. Have you tried running, you know? Mm. You could do a bit of running, maybe a bit of yoga. You know, so you do it, don't you? Have you done it? Have you tried?
I've tried running.
You go running to beat the blues. We've got to do this. Come on, this is it. You know, the physical and the mental are connected. We'll run on the beach, because I live, of course, here in Brighton. Run on the beach. Off I go, down on the beach. You know, the first day, you're like, oh, God, this is awful. You know, it's wet and people are looking at you and your trousers are falling down, you know. Because I borrowed them from Sue Clinch, and she's an absolute rhino, as we know. The trousers are coming down, you know, you're covered in sweat, your makeup is running. You probably shouldn't do a lot of makeup for running. You feel awful, you've collapsed into bed, you drink a pint of gin, and then, you know, the next day you wake up, I feel terrible, partly from the gin, I won't lie. But you're like, come on, Anna, let's do it. We're going to beat them blues. We're going to be like Abraham Lincoln or Freddie Bat, not Freddie Bastion. He shat himself to death. Not like that. But, you know, we're going to get out there. We're going to take our depression. We're going to pull its eyes out, and we're going to fist the holes.
Right.
You know, we're going to beat it.
Yeah.
So you hit the beach again, running, running, doing a bit of yoga, you know, on the beach, running, running, running. Oh, you feel a bit better. Mm-hmm. Not great, but a bit better. Next day, bang, you're out of bed. You're on the beach.
Yeah.
You're doing your yoga. You're running. Come on, we can do this, yeah? You meet a couple of guys, Roger and George. They're running as well, trying to beat their blues. You're all running together. You remember. Mm-hmm. You know, we're running together, and you've formed a sort of running club, and you get on really well. And then next day, bang, let's go. Roger and George are at the door. Come on, Anna! We're beating our blues! Off you go. You're all running on the beach. You're doing the yoga. You've entered a half marathon, and you win, don't you, darling? You win. Well, you finish. You know, and then wonderful that night, you're hitting the dance floor, celebrating. You're having a little drink again, you know, with Roger and George, and you're dancing with them, and you get off with Roger. You know, George is really upset. Mm. You didn't even realize he liked you, you know, but he tells Roger's wife, and then she puts some really nasty stuff on social media, you know, and then she comes at you with a sort of shank, you know, the next day. But luckily, 20 years of stage combat kick in. You grab her arm, you break it. And then the next thing you know, you're in front of a judge, waiting to be seen. You're there, you're doing a bit of yoga, you know, and then before you know it, you're barred from Luton.
It's a worry.
And I wasn't even in Luton, so that was a real cruel crime. I think the punishment should always fit the crime.
Yeah.
Okay. My crime was breaking someone's arm.
Yeah.
The punishment was to be barred from Luton.
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't know. But judges are a law unto themselves, of course, you know. And then the next day, you know, you wake up and you're feeling, you're back at square one. Before that, yeah. Square minus eight. And you think, shall I go running? And then you think, nah, fuck that.
Then what we've lost, then what we've lost, then what we've lost, then what we've lost.
So, then what we've lost. Now, this week we're going to talk a little bit about one of my dearest friends, Silly Billy Crilly. A little ripple of recognition from Phil. Have you seen much of his work? Bits and bobs here and there. Dibs and dabs, tits and tots.
Bits on YouTube. And
yes, oh lovely. Bits on YouTube. Have they put him on YouTube, have they?
Oh,
I'm surprised he'll even fit. I mean, he's tiny. I'm surprised he just wouldn't get lost on there. No, he's no longer with us, of course. That's the point of this section of the show, in case you didn't get it. Silly Billy Crilly was a wonderful man, a child star, like lovely Judy Garland, and Colin McCulkin. And Silly Billy Crilly, he was very funny. I mean, he was so cute. God damn it.
Yeah.
As the Americans say, he was so cheeky. And you can't teach that.
No.
You can force it in, but you can't teach it. And with him, they forced it in, sadly. You know, with a really... I mean, basically... He was a young chap who decided to act and they saw he was cute. I mean, the studios are monsters. They really are when they get going. And they saw he was cute and they just sort of put him in this room and played a tape that just kept going, be cute, be cute, be cute, you know. And then if he did anything that wasn't cute, he would be zapped, you know, by a zapper.
Mm, like shock.
Well, I don't know how it works, but it's called a zapper, and you do not want to be on the end of one. Mm. Trust me, whether you're a man nor beast. But they made him cute, and he was so he had a wonderful sense of humour. He really did. He used to make me. I used to just be in stitches, you know. Which I mean, we couldn't film, and sadly, I was taken off the set of the first time because I would not stop laughing. Mm. And sometimes he wasn't even joking. Mm. You know, sometimes he was being very serious and actually quite rude. Mm. And I would just be I'm just thinking about him now, you know. But no, Silbill Krill, he was a lot of fun. And tiny chap.
Yeah.
Really small, really little. And that was part... Where's the jam? You remember that? In those bits you've seen? Yeah. You must have. I mean, that's all he ever did. Where's the jam? Where's the jam? Where's the jam? You remember?
Yeah.
It'd pop up.
Yeah.
In a film, all sorts of films.
Mm.
And TV programs and a couple of songs. Mm. He was in a hit song. It was called... It was called Where's the Jam?
Oh.
Where's the jam? Where's the jam? Where's the jam? You know, very funny, very silly.
Yeah.
Very got very tiresome very quickly. Very quickly. But for a while, it was all the rage, you know. I think he said it... I think he was genuinely just asking, where is the jam? And the director of whatever that was loved it so much, he stuck it into the film. I think it was a space film. Not outer space. It was a film where people are... Space films, it's where people are talking from very far away from each other.
A sort of personal space.
Yes, a personal space film. Not as fun as sort of Star Wars or Star Trek, you know, but it had its moments. And Silbill Krill, yes, he I think he was genuine. I think it was just lunch and, you know, he'd happened to say, where's the jam? And the director said, what did you just say? What did you just say then? He said, where's the jam? That. Say it again. Where's the jam? Right, get the cameras, get the, you know, and this was in the old days, you know, before digital, so it took about 3 hours, but they got everything, and then they just put the camera, where's the jam? And then the film it just evolved from there, it just became about that.
Yeah.
It just became about this chap asking where the jam is.
Wow.
They just got rid of the script and everything. All the script writer was pissed off, you know.
Just centred on...
Centres around Silbill Krill, but you know, when you can spot something like that, it's worth $1 million, you know. Yeah. When someone does something, and you can wait your whole lifetime, I still am, waiting for that bit where I just do something and people go, that's it. that's the next, where's the jam? You know, that's the next, oh, my leg. You know that one? That was was Marjorie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Silly Billy Crilly, where's the jam? And he'd said it in so many different things, not just space films.
Yeah.
Also westerns, you know, with cowboys, you know. Yul Brynner was in a wonderful, wonderful film with Yul Brynner called, what was it? Get Your Guns and Shoot, I think it was called. Get your guns and shoot 'em. No, it was a long title. Get Your Guns and Shoot 'em. They're on the ranch.
Okay.
And it was about these ranchers, you know. And someone had got on the ranch.
Yeah.
And Yul Brynner, who he owned the ranch, and he was not happy about this. So he got some guns, and then he shot the people who had got onto the ranch.
Yeah.
Shot them all and kept shooting them, even when they were on the floor. Bang, 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 you know. It was a really good film. Really good, really tense. Because you knew these people were trying to get on the ranch, you know. And it was at what point, it's sort of like maths in a way, isn't it? At what point?
Chess.
It is chess. It's chess, but with guns and a ranch rather than a rook and a queen. And you were waiting for these people to get on the ranch. But at the same time, you're aware, you know, there'd be a point where them being on the ranch would be enough for Yul Brynner to go get the guns. And whose side were you on? Yul Brynner's? Because he didn't want people on his ranch. I mean, would you want people on your ranch? No, of course not. I mean, we're naturally territorial. We're beasts, you know. We are men and women. We think we're civilized. But really, if someone gets on my ranch...
Yeah. That's it.
You know, and that's, we're only three breakfasts away from eating each other's heads. That's the phrase. I think that's Socrates or something.
Maybe.
Maybe not. I don't, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's all in the air, really, at this point. And he gets the guy, and he, you know, but at the same time, you're like, are we on Yul Brynner's side? No, we said that. Are you on the people who've got on the ranch's side? Because actually, all they wanted
was
jam.
Oh.
It was a jam ranch.
Oh.
You know, in the back in the day, there was a lot of, you know, you had the gold prospectors, you had oil, people digging for oil, you had the cowboys with their cows, you know, but also people aren't always aware of this, but you actually had a lot of jam ranchers back then where they would make jam.
Yeah.
And they were the scene during the Old West, you know, they were seen of a lot of bloody combat.
Jam rustlers.
Jam rustlers. Jam wranglers. That's where the phrase, have you wrangled your jam yet, comes from.
I've heard that.
Have you heard that?
Mm.
It's sort of, you know, it's like, it means, you know, have you finished whatever you're doing? Have you wrangled your jam, you know? Or have you finished whatever you're doing and is it safe from jam thieves?
Mm.
Anyway, at some point in this story, Silly Billy Crilly, obviously he was someone getting... Oh, no, he was at the end. So they did the whole story. Yul Brynner finds the jam thieves, blows them away.
Yeah.
They're literally just, by the end, they're just mush. Because he just keeps shooting. And that was him. That was the actor. He demanded that. He wanted, he was very much like, well, I don't think I'm the kind of character that would shoot them till they're dead and leave it at that. I think I'm the kind of character that would shoot them till they're dead, then keep going till they're just mush. And then at the end, Silly Billy Crilly pops up and says, where's the jam? And everybody laughs. It was...
The old Hollywood.
It was wonderful stuff. Kubrick wanted him for Spartacus.
Really?
Really. I'm Spartacus. I'm Spartacus. I'm Spartacus. Where's the jam? You know?
Mm.
Luckily, they cut it at the 11th hour. They realised, no, that's got nothing to do with ancient Rome. Nothing. So... The thing about Silly Billy Crilly is they wanted to keep him small.
Mm.
Forgive me if I cry. They didn't like him getting bigger and growing up because they realised, you know, he was a cash cow.
Yeah.
They could, and they were going to milk him. And they were going to turn that milk into cash yogurt. And they kept going, you know, and so they gave him these pills that made him small.
Oh,
smaller,
really?
And smaller, yeah. And smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, you know. And they actually went too small because they wanted to keep him a sort of child star, you see. But instead he became more like a sort of, well, I mean, he was about 5 inches by the end.
But very small.
really small.
Yeah.
And by that point, you know, I mean, part of the Hollywood thing is the whole, you know, sex symbol.
Yeah.
You know, could I, is that person, well, maybe not with him actually, because he was a child star, but you know, you want to know, part of the Hollywood thing is you want to know that that actor that you love could also be your friend.
Yeah.
Down the pub or, you know, or in this case, you know, at your school or, you know. And when they're only 5 inches high,
wouldn't work.
And in the end, of course, drunk old Freddie Basden famously had had a pint or two too many, and we're talking whiskey, and trod on him.
Really?
Squish, in a word.
One go.
Where's the jam? It's on the bottom of my shoe, mate, you know? That's what Freddie said, which I thought was... I thought that was a bit pushing it. I mean, Fred was always up for a giggle.
It's inappropriate.
It's inappropriate. It's... I mean, he was always up for a giggle. He really was. And he, and I still laughed, even though I thought, you know, even though one of my best friends had been killed. Because laughter is like that, I guess. It just tickles you, doesn't it? Under your bits, you know, and you're not expecting it. And that's the thing. I laughed for ages. I think it was partly a laughter of shock. I think I was, you know, I mean, to see one of your friends become that small and then to see them be squished by another friend while he's just pissed and not even aware of what he's done, really.
Unusual. He's
still aware enough to make a gag. You know? So, good on him. Ooh. Billy, wherever you are, we love you. We're thinking of you and we will not forget you. Where's the jam? Where's the jam?
Then what we've lost.
So that was the tragic story of lovely silly Billy Crilly, God bless him. But back to our depression, so running don't work. What is it that beats the blues? Well, it's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard for you, you know, the little people. You live your lives and it's so hard to just breathe, to think, to let your brain breathe. Did you even know that your brain can breathe?
No, I didn't.
No, it can breathe, but it has to be taught.
Yeah.
It has to be taught. Your brain can breathe and you have to let it, you know, because it's so difficult in this day and age, you know. Daily the info chimps throw their shit in our eyes, don't they? You know, do this, don't do that, you know. Buy this, don't buy that, you know, don't eat that, you'll become fat, don't drink that, you'll become really small. Wear this, all the boys will like you. Don't wear that, Anna, you look like a bee. So finally you retreat to the attic room of your mind, you lock all the doors and refuse to see anyone, you know. But my advice is simple. Slow down and look out. Open that door and get out into the world. And that's what Anna Mann doth say. Well, that's the end of the show. Don't forget, I'm still on tour, colinholt.net. That's just a name I picked at random. Have a look. All the information's there. Where's the jam?